Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Now, you're very welcome back, 51551. And, yes, we can go straight to Imelda May. Imelda May is on the line. Good morning to you, Imelda.
Good morning to you, Oliver. How are you doing?
And congratulations on the success of Mother of All Beans.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much.
You're in Cork at the moment.
Yes, I arrived on the train last night.
Oh, lovely, yes.
Beautiful morning it is here.
You like to travel? You love to travel down by train, do you?
Oh, I love the train. I'll go coach or train. I love it. I love the train. I love looking out the window of the train. I love it. Love it.
I was going to ask how you look out the window, but I can nearly see the music video in my head. you're going to the beautiful Everyman Theatre tonight. You're actually on stage tonight until the 10th of August.
Yes, on stage tonight. We're doing dress rehearsals and then a preview tonight and then opening night tomorrow night.
So you're very good to be chatting to us at a quarter to ten, because I'd imagine that makes you a night owl at the minute.
It does. Well, it's just a bit of sleep, I'll be grand. We've been doing rehearsals during the day all last week. It's a full-on rehearsal schedule that I've been doing, so I think we're ready. We did it last year in the Olympia, and it went really well. So I'm delighted to be invited back to do it this year for nearly a couple of weeks in Cork and then nearly a week in Dublin. So
it's an extraordinary success.
It must have went well last year.
It must have gone well, exactly. They're coming back. And I'm delighted for you, because it was like a pivot in your career, wasn't it? Because I know there's music in it, but it's a play, isn't it? There's loads of lines for you to learn off.
It's a one-woman play.
Wow.
So I have to learn about an hour and 40 minutes of dialogue all by myself.
How did that hit you when you first had to do it?
I have to say it's one of the biggest challenges I've ever done.
Really?
It's really one of the toughest things I've ever done in my life. It's taken last year. It took months and months and months of learning me constantly. I'm like a mad woman, driving my daughter mad. She's totally embarrassed of me because I'm sitting beside her, just looks like I'm chatting away to myself, trying to get the lines into my head. And I'm loud. I'm dip, dip, dip. No, well, I said to her and she said to me. So if you've seen me on a plane doing that, anybody, now you know.
If there was a woman talking to herself on the train yesterday down to Cork.
Talking to myself, right? Yeah. So
that woman looks like a Mel to me, but it couldn't be her.
So I was chatting away to myself a lot. So I'm back to doing that. Constantly, the script comes everywhere with me, every minute on the train, just the plane, everywhere I go, constantly on the script. So it goes into my head. The stories are wonderful. Kathleen was an amazing woman, and the stories are just delightful, heartbreaking, hilarious, blood boiling, all of it, every emotion you can imagine.
What strikes you most about Kathleen? Why do you like this character so much?
Well, she's a real woman. She's a real person, Brendan Bean's mother. I love telling her story, you know. I think she's resilient, she's stoic, when you go to talk to her, it's like talking to your granny, your great-granny, you know, or somebody that you wish you could hear from and you can't ask them anymore and they're gone. This is her, because this is our story. These are her words. But it's our history and it's our story. And it's that conversation that you wish you could have found out all those things. And it's so personal that it's not a history book, it's a person. And she told all of her stories to her son Brian, who recorded them. And he turned them into a book. And then Peter Sheridan, the great Peter Sheridan, turned it into the most magnificent play. But they are her words. So I feel I have a responsibility to tell them well, because they're all of our history, you know, and it's really important to know the women's stories, because otherwise they disappear, they're gone, that's it, you know. So she's just so funny and so strong, and you know, one of her husbands died in of flu after the First World War,
the Spanish flu.
She's left pregnant with a toddler, and then she marries another, and he's locked up. It's all these mad stories that you can't even believe. And she, at one stage, she's left with 7 children out in the street. You know, she was raised in an orphanage, even though she wasn't an orphan for the first part. But, you know, incredible. So it's heartbreaking. She had maybe a little dalliance with Michael Collins. I'm not too sure about that.
One of many.
She alludes to it. And she lived with Maud Gonne and Constance Markievicz. I mean, it's an incredible story. Plus, she's hilarious, you know, as people often wear through the toughest of times.
Yeah, and particularly because Peter Sheridan is so good at capturing that humour of the inner city. Oh. And you're all inner city involved in it, aren't you? Yourself, Peter, although the north and south inner city, is there a difference?
Well, some people would say there is. Maybe there is. We don't know. We'll just leave that one part there.
You can use your own accent anyway. You don't have to change anything.
Oh, I use my accent, and I can, but I make it that the accent of that time as well. You know,
yeah,
slightly different.
Is it slightly different?
Yeah. Well, I have a very old-fashioned accent because the people in the Liberties do.
Yeah, okay.
I think accents got stronger when people moved out, when they went outside of city centre, which they tried to move. I think the accents got stronger. But if you go into the Liberties and hear people talking, it's a soft Dublin accent. There's a bit of info you probably didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know that. What would be the difference? Because you demonstrate the differences between the Liberties soft and the vintage Dublin that you're doing in the play.
Well, she'd be more Hirtons. She'd be talking, I sell Dublin Bay Hirtons, you know?
Yeah.
And little things like that, the way my dad used to say, Wednesday.
Okay.
Do you remember?
There's like a staccato clip.
You don't hear that much anymore.
Yeah. Hirtons. Very good.
The Hirtons, yeah. And jeepers. I remember they used to sell, I don't know if your family used to say, oh, jeepers.
Well, I'm from Monaghan. There was, different expressions.
Yeah, so she'd be talking like that. Oh, and then there's one character. And so I'm playing all the different characters that's in her family. And there's one that when she had what I'd say was, so, you know, we've delved into each of the characters. So one of them is her granny, the granny English. Mm. And she had notions about herself, I thought, because she was a landlady. But she was a landlady of tenement houses, so she wasn't well-to-do, but she felt like she was. And there's a part in it where she talks about what she wanted to be buried as. So she says, let me have fine, fat-arsed black horses to take me to the cemetery. None of your skinny old knackers. Let them have great black plumes leaping and rearing out their head. Let them pull me twice around the parish, stopping at the house each time, and let the procession wind its way to Glasnevin, stopping at every pub along the way. Let no man stand sober at my graveside. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, the graveside.
At my graveside, you know, putting on, say, like the telephone voice.
So yeah, the telephone voice. Yeah.
I thought, I bet you she'd have a telephone voice. So that's what I've done with her. So that's Kathleen Bean's mother-in-law.
Wow, that's lovely. There's a nice message here. I went to see Imelda in the play last year. I brought my daughters and we absolutely loved it. I would tell every mammy to bring their girls. It's from Maria in Malahide.
Delighted.
Yeah, loads of people bring their mammies to it. I wonder for you, is it difficult to do a play about a mammy, essentially, in front of loads of mammies? Because you lost your parents very recently yourself.
Yeah, I did. Mm. Oh, no, I'm delighted. My dad only died a few months ago.
Yeah, sorry to hear.
And, God, you know, I feel like the luckiest. I feel like I've won all the lotteries for the parents that I had, really. I'm so delighted. And loads of people would have met my dad last year at the play. He was just determined. He wanted to see that play because he could see all the work I was putting into it. So everything I do, he'd say, I can't go until I see that, you know. So he saw the play, which is actually, I'm delighted that he did. And I filmed a couple of movies last year that are coming out.
Yeah.
And on one of the movies, it's called, it's a thriller called The People Before. My dad came to the set and he was there with me for the last scenes. And so at the end of the movie, I keep bawling, crying, and people are saying, God, she's very emotional about the end of the movie.
Because
I could just picture my dad sitting there. Dad came to see it and I was delighted, yeah. So, but I don't feel any pressure been, and my mum would have loved it. But my family got upset when they came to see me in the play last year.
Was that right?
My brother said, there's so much of Mam in it.
Right.
It was like looking at Mam. Mm. And so I didn't realise I'd taken on loads of Mam's characteristics. And they said, God, it was so lovely and upsetting that it was to see Mam, because Mam died 2 years ago. And they said, it was like looking at Mam.
Gosh.
So that made me heart filled with warmth, you know.
And she
but there's loads of men come too.
It's of course,
It's not a woman's play. It's a play about, like I said, it's about our history, and it's good for everybody to know what our history was from all angles. It's certainly not a woman's play at all. And I was going to say it's about Ireland and Irish history, but I was delighted to see a few tourists come as well to learn about the actual people that, you know, we owe a lot to.
Yeah, there's huge interest, particularly in Behan's legacy.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Your parents reached a great age, didn't they?
They did. They went both into their 90s. Yeah.
And just both. Because your dad, Tony Clabby. What was your mum's name?
Madge.
Tony and Madge.
Tony and Madge.
Great names.
I know. And they great. My mum's mother was Maisie Morrissey, and she was in Coming of Mon. So I think she knew Kathleen Behan, because my dad knew Stephen Behan. My dad was in the painter's union with him. My dad was a dancer and then a painter and decorator.
Yeah.
And mad combination. But my granny was in Coming of Mon, and my granny was friends with Grace Clifford.
Wow. So there's great Joseph Republican Duncan. Heritage there, rubbing shoulders, yeah.
Yeah. She used to bring, when my mum was small, she remembers going to see her mother bringing her to see Grace Gifford. So, you know, it's still living history. And I'm friends with wonderful Mary Plunkett, Joseph Mary Plunkett's great niece. She's a wonderful printer, by the way. And she prints out our Declaration of Independence up in the printing museum, by the way.
The printing museum. So yeah, we were chatting to lads in that recently. So there's tons and tons of history here.
But it's living, you know, it's still ongoing. All the relations of all these people are still alive and proud of what they've done.
You're the perfect person for it, by the sounds of it. I want to ask you about the state of the city now, because obviously you're very proud of the inner city, and it's been in the headlines, you know, from the riots last year. You've got the poor people of, the decent people of Coolock being trailed through the mud at the moment. I mean, what's your view? Because we remember your poem, You Don't Get to Be Racist in Irish, which went viral a couple of years ago. That's more timely than ever now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, how long have you got? I'm going to talk to you about
two and a half minutes.
Oh, there you are. Exactly. I'm for love, you know, and maybe I'm naive, but that's what I'm for. I'm from love as much as that can be, in a place of just, we're all on this planet together and we have to make the best. And I know that my parents and my grandparents were certainly not racist, not sexist, not xenophobic, not they were open. They take each person as they came. Yeah. And, you know, my mother was a staunch Republican, and my mother would take each person as you met them. So I think that's where I've learned the way I am is from my parents. And they were just four people. They're full of love. You know, they were just absolutely full of loving people. So that's what I'm for. I think the city has its problems, of course.
Yeah.
It needs to be, they need to look at why there's unrest or why people are upset, because it normally comes from a place of fear, you know. So I think they need to look at or poverty or people needing jobs or whatever. They need to be looking at and listening to the people. But I think the blame is all going into the wrong places. However, in saying that, the news loves telling you bad news. I think they should all rename themselves Bad News. Every paper, every news show, Bad News, because there's so much good. I walked around Dublin for the whole day. Yes, I'm in Dublin walking around, and I was just listening to people as I go by. I love kind of little snapshots of conversations.
Yeah.
And it's just the joy I found, and everybody having such a lovely time. And I think you never hear of this in any city, anywhere. Just loads of people helping each other, you know, just... I dropped something on the road and somebody runs up and and hands it to me, said, you drop this, and you know, I'm running.
We're doing,
back
we're doing it now, I suppose. You're the good news, Imelda.
good news.
And I know exactly what you're saying.
The majority of people that you meet are good people. That's the way I look at it. And you never hear about that because it's not newsworthy. The majority of the
everything
people
went well
lovely,
today is not
lovely.
A headline.
Everyone went well today.
Yeah.
Everyone was nice to each other. I mean, and I think that's the way. Fear mongering, fear. Just,
it doesn't
you know,
work.
Switch yeah. all of that off and have a lovely day.
Well, that's a lovely positive message to end on. And I wish you well down at the Everyman Theatre in Cork. That's starting tonight and it's running till the 10th of August. Everymancork.com is the place for that. And you're coming back to the Olympia Theatre Tuesday the 13th to Sunday the 18th of August. They'll be hotly anticipated and sought after tickets in the Olympia. Listen, enjoy
I
every bit
you
of
get
it.
To come.
I hope so too, yeah. I'd enjoy that because I'd be watching out for the bits of the accent that I don't have. We have to go to a break. Thanks so much, Imelda May. Have a lovely
day. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
From the North, text studio, followed by your message to 80889.